I hope that we all consider this time that we have together this evening as being one of those times in the week that we look forward to, that we can once again come together to study a portion of God's Word. We can worship Him in spirit and in truth. Truly, we should look forward to these times to be with those of like precious faith. As you might have noticed in the songs that we sang this evening, there was talking about loyalty and being true to Christ, being a friend to Jesus, and also standing up or taking our stand for Christ and the cause of Christ. And that's kind of the thing we want to talk about this evening, is the subject of loyalty. If you have your New Testaments, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. In verses 57 through the remainder of the chapter, verse 62, we find him talking about Christ, the cost of discipleship. But in this, we find that loyalty is something that is stressed. Now, it happened as they were journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." It was one of the disciples then that was following him that made that claim. "Wherever you go, I'll follow you." He's setting forth the fact that he would be loyal to him and to the cause of Christ. And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And so Christ is telling him concerning what it's going to cost him, that discipleship and that being loyalty unto him. Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Again, he is stressing here the loyalty that is going to be and the devotion that is going to be needed in order to follow him. He's trying to stress this to those that would be his followers. Now, the word loyalty is not found in the pages of the Bible, but as we can see, the principles and the qualities of loyalty are everywhere to be found in the Word of God. Again, this is a text here in Luke that stresses that, that sets forth what we're going to have to do in order to follow and to be faithful unto Christ. There's another example of what we're talking about in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And we can read, beginning in verse 32 down through verse 38, of this great and wonderful quality that was found in those who would not give up the cause of their God. Of course, we know that Hebrews chapter 11 is talking about those that are faithful. And after naming Abraham and Isaac and Moses and the walls of Jericho and how they fell, and also the faith of Rahab the harlot, we find the inspired writer beginning there in verse 32, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the alien. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth." He just enumerates a few of those things that happened to those in the Old Testament, the faithful unto God. And certainly this shows not only in their faith, but they had a loyalty to God. And they were not willing to compromise any of the things that they believed in. And so the faith coupled with their suffering proved to us all that they were devoted and they were not going to give up. Loyalty has always been something that has been greatly esteemed by mankind. This is a characteristic, I believe, that is admired even by us today. You know, political parties want people that are loyal to them. They want those individuals that are going to stand by that political party regardless of what might happen. Here are individuals they know that they can call on, and whenever they need help, whenever they need any kind of assistance whatsoever, they know this person or that person is going to be loyal to them. The military also needs that. those who are in places of command. They want those that are loyal unto them, who will not give up, who will not desert to the enemy. This is something that is greatly admired. Loyalty defined simply means devoted allegiance. Others have said it is constant and faithful in any relationship. It's implying trust and confidence. It's bearing true allegiance to constituted authority. And that's the way we recognize it in the United States. When we're loyal to our country, we recognize the constituted authority and we follow the laws that are there. Of course, in our relationship to God, spiritually, we recognize the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one who has all authority. He is the constituted lawgiver, and in him is absolute authority, and we render our allegiance and our loyalty unto him. In this lesson this evening, what we want to try to do is show that each and every one of us are going to be loyal to something or somebody. And so we're not just simply asking the question, are you loyal? But what we're trying to do is, where is your loyalty? Where is it? Find out where it is established. We find that a lot of people in this world are loyal to themselves. They like to listen to themselves. They like to be the one that is in charge of their life. And they would not compromise themselves for anything. I believe sometimes this is because they think too highly or too much of themselves. Paul made the statement to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, that in the last days there were going to be perilous times that were going to come. And one of the things that he says, the very first thing that he says, is that men are going to become lovers of themselves. And truly, we are living in those times, aren't we? We're living in times that are perilous. We're living in those last days when people are lovers of themselves. They put themselves and they're loyal to themselves above everything else. And I believe perhaps that it is for some people, it's easy for them to think too highly of themselves, to esteem themselves above and better than others. We recognize that some have what we might simply say an inflated ego, that they think that their way of doing things is the only way. And that if something is going to be done right and proper, then the way that they think, and they themselves are the ones that needs to get it done. Nobody can do it as good as they can. Spiritually, we find these kind of individuals because we see in them an attitude of excusing in themselves things that they would condemn in somebody else. They look to somebody else and they see that individual doing wrong, and they point it out to them in the Bible, and they say, there's no excuse for this that you're doing. But being loyal to themselves, if they are in the same situation and doing exactly the same thing, in their mind they begin to justify what they are doing. They're not loyal to the Scripture. They're not loyal to God. They're loyal to themselves, trying to excuse themselves. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, we find one of the qualities that Christ talks about in those that would follow him. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, in verses 24 through verse 26, we find Christ making this statement. He's talking to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. But what is a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? He's talking about here, if we're going to be followers, if we're going to be loyal unto Jesus Christ our Lord, then the first thing, or one of the things we've got to do, is deny ourselves. We've got to take ourselves, we might say, out of the picture in the things that we are doing and follow the will and the commandments of God. But if we are loyal to ourselves, then one of the things that we are not going to do is we are not going to deny ourselves. We might find individuals just like that. They can't, because of that, obey the commandments that the Lord has given. They can't allow themselves or humble themselves to allow another individual to lead them. They want to take the lead. You know, this is what is warned against in 2 John verse 9, where it talks about those there that whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ. That word transgress really means to take the lead, to be out in front. And those individuals that would transgress that are individuals who would not humble themselves and not deny themselves. And so their loyalty is not unto God, but it is unto themselves. If we are one of those individuals that is that gives allegiance to ourselves, then we make us the center of our lives. Everything seems to be revolving around our desires. And therefore, such individuals cannot put Christ first. They cannot truly be concerned with the welfare of others either. Loyalty to self leads to ruin. It leads to sorrow. And it leads really to a very lonely person. And as we look about the society in which we live today, that is the philosophy that so many people live by. Putting themselves first, thinking of their desires above everything else. As we know, we go back a generation or so and we lived in the me generation. You know, what do I want to do? How is this going to affect me? What are my wants and my desires? And we do those first. And now it's the same thing as another generation has arose. It's putting self above everybody else and desires. You know, Solomon, in seeking happiness, was loyal to himself. Look at the things that he did in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and in verses 1 through 10. We read some of the things there that were involved in his life. And again, here was a man who was trying to seek happiness. What was it that was good for man to do all the days of his life? And he tried many things. But one of those things that he did was he didn't hold anything back. And I believe he talks about this in a lawful sense. It's not that he engaged in sin. He did those things on occasion that was not pleasing to the sight of God, in the sight of God. But as we see here, we find that he didn't keep anything back that was lawful for him to do. And he began to do all kind of things and build things and gather physical things around him, thinking that this was what was going to make me happy, thinking of being loyal only to himself in this way. And we see what the conclusion was, though, that of the whole matter and what really the duty of man was, and that was to fear God and keep his commandments. You can read in those first 10 verses there of all the things that he did for himself, everything that he built, and seeking happiness and seeking pleasure. And so in this way, we might say, he thought of only himself. But we find that true happiness was to be found in obeying God. Being loyal to self. That's one individual that we can give our allegiance or our devotion to. We find others giving loyalty unto the world. Many fall into this category. This means that they are devoted to the things that are found in the world. And the Bible constantly warns of the dangers of worldliness, of being overly involved in the things of the world, of loving the world. There in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15, 16, and 17, a passage of Scripture that we know about, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He goes on to talk about those that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. There cannot be a love for the world and a loyalty to the world and also a love and a loyalty unto God. Now what John here in the Holy Spirit is not prohibiting is an appreciation for the physical creation that is around about us. I believe as God has created everything that there is, that we should see the grandeur and the beauty in those things. And appreciate in that the might, the power, and the wisdom of God. He is not prohibiting also a love for mankind. Because we see in John 3 and verse 16 that even God had a love for mankind. So much that he was willing to give his son. What he is referring to here, the dangers of worldliness and being loyal or giving allegiance to the world, refers to those who give regard, first of all, to things in this life, to things in this world. One who gives their allegiance to the world has their affection set on those objects that are found in the world, in amassing physical possessions because they think these are the things that are going to bring them happiness, and so they put those things first. And however they might obtain them, then they'll go about obtaining those things. That these are individuals who give little or no regard to spiritual matters. Attention is given to acquire more and more in this life. Paul talks about those people in Philippians chapter 3 in verses 17 and 18 and 19. As he speaks to the saints there at Philippi concerning this, he says, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk," here he's trying to point out those that are no longer loyal to God but to the world, "of whom I have told you often and I tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." This is the end result of those who would be loyal to the world, who would be devoted to that aspect, to giving themselves to these things. He says they're enemies of God. And finally, he says they bad description of these individuals. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. Again, this describes a lot of people in our society today. They set their mind on earthly things. Loyalty to the world really means loyalty to Satan, because he is described as being the prince of this world. Jesus did that in John 14 and verse 30. He is described by Paul in Ephesians 6 and verse 12 as being the ruler of darkness of this age or of this world. There are a lot of people who want to give their allegiance to the world and then also to the Lord. They kind of want to split it just a little bit. But I think we all understand that this is something that is impossible. You cannot do it. Now, a lot of people think that they can. They think that they can live with one foot in the world, enjoy the pleasures of the world, and they can also live with one foot, as we might say, in the kingdom of God or in the church, and enjoy those things and the blessings that are found in Jesus Christ. But we know that that cannot be. James 4 and verse 4 talks about those that are friends with the world. They're enemies of God. In Matthew 6 and verse 24, Christ points out there that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve God and mammon. In the 6th chapter also of Matthew, verse 33, we are to seek the kingdom of God first above everything else. And Paul said concerning Demas in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10 that he had been forsaken by Demas because he loved this present world. He was not willing to part with that. He was not being loyal to the cause of Christ, but rather sought the things that were in the world. There are many, many people who are that way in our society. They're loyal to physical things. That's the one aspect of their life that the decisions are based on, and everything seems to revolve around. And they're devoted to that. There are those also that we find, even in especially in religious circles, who are loyal to their feelings. How many times have you ever heard a person make this statement or someone relate to you that they've talked to someone, and it goes something like this, that I wouldn't trade this feeling that I have in my heart for $1 million, for all the things that are found in the world. And they're talking about what they feel is their relationship to God, their spiritual life and their spiritual standing before God, and they feel, this great, wonderful, warm emotion about themselves and in their relationship to God, and they wouldn't trade it for anything. Now, you can take the Word of God and point it out to them that their feelings are not right or what they believe is not right, but that doesn't seem to affect them. They have this feeling, and they're loyal unto that. The proverb is said in Proverbs 28 and verse 26, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." Now, here was a wise man making a statement many, many years ago. And this is by inspiration. These are things that come to us from the Word of God. That person that trusts in his own heart, that person is a fool. Now, we have to recognize the fact that feelings are something that are very important in our life. But we need to understand that they have a role in our lives. And when we begin to be loyal only to those things, then we have placed our feelings in the wrong role in our life. Feelings are things that are given to us by God, I believe, to motivate us. Not necessarily to guide us, but to motivate us in doing things. You know, when we do things that are right, that are pleasing in the sight of God, we have a good feeling about that. And when we do those things that are wrong, there's a sense of shame that comes upon us. And we know and we recognize this. And they motivate us to either do more or to stop doing the things that we're doing that are wrong. But they're not to be something that is to simply guide us in our life. You know, Paul said that he acted in all good conscience. Even when he persecuted the church, he had the right feelings. He thought he ought to be doing these things. His conscience didn't bother him at all when he was standing there and Stephen was being stoned to death. When he was going to Damascus and he was persecuting the church, his feelings, his conscience did not bother him because he thought he ought to be doing these things. But man's conscience, I do not believe, was ever intended and ever given to us by God to be the primary guide in our life. Certainly we know that our conscience or that our mind is pretty much like a computer. Whatever you put into that thing, you're going to get out of that. The computer only knows what's been put into it. And that's the way that we are. That's the way the conscience is. The way that it has been trained is the way that it is going to act. It's the way that it is going to feel. And if it has been trained or taught to accept sin as being nothing wrong, then when that conscience sins, it's not going to cause it any ill effects whatsoever. The conscience then is given to us so that we might recognize those things in our life and give us feelings. But this conscience, when it is not trained right, can put us in a very dangerous position. And to be loyal then, simply to the way that we feel, is putting our feelings above everything else and relying on those to determine what is right and what is wrong. And there are those in the religious world who are just like that. They'd rather have this feeling that is in their heart than anything else. There are those also who are loyal to family. You know, there are those individuals who would obey the gospel if it were not for their families. They have made the statement, as they've made it as such. If it were not for their parents or were not for those that they loved, they would become members of the church. They would obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. They can look into the denominational world and they see the things that are wrong. They have enough knowledge of the Bible to know that what they see others practicing, it's not according to the will of God. But they would never go against their parents because they know it would be something that would hurt their loved ones so very much. Now we should love and we should appreciate our parents. This is something that is taught to us by God, to honor them and to respect them, to give obedience unto them, and also take care of them in their old age. But they should never come before the Lord. The Lord must come before everyone. And as close as our physical relationships are to us, that God must come first. Again, Christ, in Matthew, the 10th chapter, in verse 34, made the statement concerning our loyalty. He says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I do not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and daughter, against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her father-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own house. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So we find here Christ setting down our priorities, that we put him first. And as close as our loved ones might be, if we show a loyalty to family over that of God, sooner or later we're going to go wrong. We should, again, love our parents. And if we find, though, the teachings of our parents or really anybody else begin to vary with the teachings of Christ, this is going to be something that is going to test our loyalty, our devotion unto him. And many times we as Christians are put to the test in this area. In the divisions that have happened in the church. Back 100, 150 years ago, when the church began to divide over the use of the piano, there was loyalty that was tested there. In recent years, in the introduction of institutionalism, that of, we find many families were divided as a result of that. And a test of loyalty came to many. And some abandoned the Lord and the way of the Lord because they wanted to hold these close ties to their family. We find many Christians being tested in loyalty when it comes to discipline that must be taken place in the body of Christ. They find that they are more loyal to the ones that they love physically than they love the will of God. And they will not discipline or act in a way toward them that the Lord directs them. We see even now that loyalty is being tested in many Christians over the problems that have arisen over divorce and remarriage and what the Bible says concerning that. And some have failed the test of loyalty because they remain faithful to those who are in marriages that are not approved by God rather than those than following the will of God. Our loyalty is going to be tested. And if we find that our loyalty to family is greater than that of God, then we're not going to stand approved in His sight. We find, again, in the religious world, that there are a lot who are loyal to the particular denomination that they are part of. Some minds are already made up. And perhaps you've heard a person make the statement, and it's kind of, you know, not really the way that it is, but I was born a Baptist, or I was born a Methodist, or whatever it might be, and that's the way that I'm going to die. And I'm not going to change. My mind is made up. They are loyal to that particular religious organization above everything else. Some people express their loyalty to a particular denomination in the same way that Stephen Decatur expressed his loyalty toward this country, where he said there that may my country ever be right, but right or wrong, I'm for my country. You know, that's good when we show patriotism. But when it comes to establishing right and wrong, we better stand on the side of right rather than on the side of loyalty toward those who are wrong. We find that there are those in the denominational world who are quite dissatisfied with what is going on in that particular group that they're a part of, and yet they will not change. They're not going to do anything about it. They're loyal to that group. Even some in liberal churches who don't approve of what is being done, of the innovations that are being brought in, they won't take a stand for the truth. They know that it's wrong, but yet they have been loyal to that particular church. They've been a part of it for so many years that it really doesn't matter what is brought in. They're not going to take a stand for what is right. Some have a devotion for the church. Some are loyal to the church. And somebody might say, well, what's wrong with that? Shouldn't we be loyal to the church, that one that belongs unto Jesus Christ? Well, we find that a lot of people have that allegiance and that devotion not to the truth, but to an organization, to a particular group of people. And when the truth would vary from that which this organization is doing, that church is doing, they find their allegiance rather to that group than to the truth. Many have taken on almost a Catholic mentality about this. In that if the elders want to introduce something into the body of Christ, if they want to do something, then that's their part. That's their leadership, and we're going to follow them. And if it's wrong, they're going to have to answer for it, not us. And that's the way the Catholics think concerning their priest. They do whatever their priest says, and if the priest is wrong, then they don't bear the blame the priest does. And a lot of Christians are looking that way concerning what might be done in the body of Christ. And those who are elders and those who are leading in the wrong way. Finally, we find that we truly must show our devotion and our loyalty unto God. And this is the way that it should be. This is something that can and must be seen in our actions and in the things that we do, our deeds. There are some who are claiming loyalty to Christ and to God, but by their actions, we find that that speech is far louder than any of the words that they could utter. They forsake the Lord by compromising the truth, by seeking worldly pleasures above everything else, by their failure to worship Him correctly in spirit and in truth, and they're forsaking Him. They claim loyalty. A loyal person would never do this. One who is devoted unto God would always follow His word. regardless of how it may affect them personally. There are some who are robbing God also by not giving as they have prospered. They're afraid to defend his name or the truth that is found in his word. Loyalty to the Lord implies certain things. It implies that we are going to be devoted to his word, this will, this testament that he has given unto us, that we are going to follow it, again, regardless of what happens. It carries with it the notion of wanting to do the best for someone. That's what loyalty is. Wanting to do the best for someone else. Be the best that we can toward that individual that we are giving our allegiance to. Christ makes the statement in John 14 and 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's the test of loyalty, of our allegiance to him. That if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments, regardless of what those commandments might be. To be loyal, as we sang in the song just a few moments ago, means that we're going to be a friend to our Lord and our Savior. We're going to stick by him. We're going to be a soldier in that army, regardless of what happens. Let's pray and let's work toward our loyalty to God. And if we find that in our life we're giving allegiance, we're placing priorities on something else, maybe we need to step back and look at our life and reassess the things in our life, because we must be loyal unto God if we hope to have a home with him when this life is over. In that last day, when we stand before the judge, he's not going to have much difficulty determining those who are loyal and those who are not. He's going to know by our deeds, not just by the words that we speak, but by our actions, it is going to be determined whether we have been loyal. Our eternity depends upon where our loyalty has been placed. And as we said in the very beginning, to whom do I give loyalty? Is it to God? Is it to self? Is it to the world? Is it to someone else that's taking a priority in my life? If it's someone else besides Jesus Christ, our Lord, then we need to make some changes in our life and put him first. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, you haven't given your loyalty to Christ. In order to do that, in order to place him first, in order to make him the Lord and Savior of your life, you must be obedient unto him. If you love me, he says, you will keep my commandments. We show in our actions the love that we have for him. He has shown in his actions his love for us, in that he died. He was willing to leave heaven, take the form of a man, live here, and to give a life on the cross of Calvary so that we might be saved. What are you willing to do to show your love to God? You need to keep his commandments. And if you're outside of the fold of safety, those commandments are, in order to get into the blessings of Jesus Christ, is to have faith, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Those are his commandments. Do you love him? Then you'll follow those commandments. If you don't love him, then you won't do that. And if you don't do that, then you show you do not love him. After being a child of God, if you've sinned in some way, you need to ask forgiveness and ask for the prayers and the help of the saints here. You have that opportunity to do that now. The song has been selected. Won't you do what is right? Won't you obey God? Won't you do it as we stand and as we sing?